because we believe that you can predict your future. And there's a purpose for predicting your future, is not just to know where you're headed, but hopefully that you can change that prediction. God wants us to enter in to the future that he has for us, and yet many of us are heading down a direction that if we would stop and look at it, we're heading someplace that we don't want to be. And many times when we get there and things fall apart in our life, and we go through things that just are not what we wanted, many times we look around and we look back at what we have, choices we have made, and I think many of us say, man, I should have seen that coming. We say that all the time. I should have seen that coming. And so what God is saying, then let's see it coming, and let's begin to predict our future and begin to make some changes. Let's be aware of what direction we are going. Now, one thing that is very common to all of us, and this is something that is true not just of Christians, but of everyone in the world, things in our life, our worst decisions, those things that we regret, those things that we do and the consequences come and we know we shouldn't have done that. But before that happens, here's a true thing for all of us. The worst decisions that we've ever made were always, always fueled by something with strong emotional appeal. Okay? This is the principle we want to look at today. Every bad choice you made was not because you just wanted to make a bad choice. You know what? I would just like to ruin my life for a little bit, so I'm going to do this. That's never the case, right? There's always something that at the moment had strong emotional appeal. It was appealing. There was something about it that was appealing. Man, this seems good. Every bad choice you make is fueled by something that was appealing to you. Now, it doesn't mean that it's always something nice or good, because sometimes what's appealing to us is revenge. And it may be very negative, and it may be very, but it's appealing to us. Oh, it feels good to me. And so we make a decision, and we choose what seems appealing to us. It might be something good, though. It's not always something negative also. Sometimes it is so appealing that you had to have it and you ate it. Have you ever eaten something later like, oh my gosh, I wish I hadn't eaten that, right? Or I wish I hadn't drank that whole thing. It was so appealing that you spent all your money on it. And like, oh, why did I do that? It was so appealing that you asked them out. And maybe later, like, oh, what did I do that for? There's always things that are appealing to us. And that's why we make decisions. Now, here's the thing. Many times, in fact, most all times, things that are appealing that we choose at some point after that choice lose their appeal, right? Have you ever wanted something, you just wanted it, you had to have it, and then about 2 weeks after you've had it, I don't need it anymore. It doesn't seem to have the same appeal as when you didn't have it, because everything that is appealing will lose its appeal. And here's the thing. If that is our focus, everything that is appealing will almost always end up in some kind of enslavement. You know, that's why people with addictions, you ask them, they don't want to be addicted. They just wanted something that was appealing. It felt good. But because of that, there's an entanglement. There becomes a hook to it. Everything is like that. Everything that is appealing has a hook on it, whether it is a relationship. Now, we're going to talk about this. Not all of them are bad, but there is still, you need to understand this, and many times we don't acknowledge this going into it, that with everything that's appealing, there is going to be a hook that enslaves us, that imprisons us. We've been looking at this principle that we need to choose what are we connected to. Now, like I said, everything is going to connect us to something and entangle it, but not everything is bad. There are some things, this is the choice that we need to make. Are we choosing the right things to be entangled in? Are we choosing the right things to be enslaved to? Because we are going to be a slave to something no matter what. The question is, are you going to be enslaved to something that is going to dry you up, eat you out, and spit you away? Or are you going to be enslaved to something that will bring life to you, that will nurture you and grow you and take you to better places? The question that we've been looking at is this principle. It is the principle of the path. Who and where you end up is based on this principle. And we looked at this principle as direction determines destination. It's that simple. We know that when you get in your car, you go down a street, the direction you choose will determine where you end up. Automatically, every time. There is no other way. If you're going that direction, you're going to end up in that destination. Many times, we just disconnect from that in our life. We understand it getting on a road, but somehow we think something different in our life. Well, I'm going to make this choice, but I'm not going to end up there like them. Well, yes, you are. We need to begin to understand that this principle is true in our life just as much as it is traveling. The direction you take will determine your destination. When your life falls apart, when your life is not satisfying, it's because of the direction you took. It's not because of what other people did. It has nothing to do with other people in your life. It's always the direction you chose within every circumstance. Direction determines destination. But we added one other thing because it's so important that we realize that not only direction, but it's direction, not intention, that determines your destination. Because this is where we have a problem. I may be going a certain direction, but my intention is to end up someplace else. I may make these choices, but I'm going to, you know, at some point change and do this. Well, no, that will not happen because your intentions means nothing. I don't care what you want to be. I don't care what your desire is. Your direction will determine your destination. You may say you're a Christian. I'm a Christian, but I can just do this on the side. No, that's a direction you're taking, and that will determine your destination. We play games with God, and somehow we fool ourselves, and we think that our intention is important. As long as I intend to do what's right, then it'll work out. No, your direction, not your intention, will determine your destination. So therefore, we need to put much more emphasis on my direction rather than my intention. In other words, what choices am I making? What thoughts am I thinking? What words am I saying? These are my direction. My actual priorities, not what I think are important, but what I'm actually doing. The direction in life, not your intention, is what's important. So, if every direction we take is going to lead us to a destination, And that destination is where you're going to end up. That's your entanglement. That is your where you are going to be connected to. Then we need to understand that there are certain directions that we need to avoid. Okay? If we do have intentions, and we do want to see our life fulfilled, and we want to enjoy all that God has, then we need to avoid certain directions. And the directions that we need to avoid, and here's that principle coming back to that first principle we talked about. The directions you need to avoid, and this is hard, the directions you need to avoid are always paved by things of great emotional appeal. Okay, we're back to appeal. Every direction you need to avoid will be covered with great appeal. That's just always the case. That is the nature of sin. That is the nature of the enemy. The reason is, if it was covered with pain and sorrow, it's easy to avoid, right? Well, we're going to avoid that anyway because we all naturally avoid those things. But the ones that we need to avoid, they are covered with, they are presented with great emotional appeal. There is something within us that we are emotionally connected to, and it pulls us. There's this idea of appeal. Now, I'm not saying that everything that is appealing is bad. We know that God, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Well, how many know that's appealing? But here's the thing. The appeal is not bad, but appeal is not enough. Appeal cannot be the core. Appeal cannot be the foundation. Appeal can be a result, but it cannot be the reason you make the decision. And too many times, appeal becomes the reason we choose this. It becomes the very substance that drives us. And when you are driven by appeal, you will begin to be enslaved by the appeal. Here's a key thing, and we're going to be looking at this. Do we choose what is appealing, or do we choose what is satisfying? Now, here's the thing. Satisfying may have an appeal, but it may not start that way. But it will end up satisfying and fulfilling more than you could ever dream. Appealing may be satisfying at first, but it will always end up empty and dead and dried up. And so we need to understand that satisfying is more productive than appealing. The direction of satisfaction will always lead us to life, where the direction of appeal will always lead us to enslavement. Now, here's something about appeal. Shiny, emotional, sparkly, pleasant things. Things that just feel good. Things that, man, I just want this, and don't you want this, and wouldn't anyone want this? And we just want things that feel good. Here's the thing. Appeal, things that you are appealed to, that are appealing to you, good or bad, they will always lower your defenses. Because when it's appealing, it somehow just lulls you in. It lowers your defenses. All of a sudden, you don't see all the dangers. You know, that person is just so special to me. And man, I just want to be with them, which is good, but all of a sudden, we don't see the danger signs. We don't see what other choices we're not making in our life, and we begin to head down a path that can not only destroy our life, but both of our lives. It lowers our defenses. But here's something else it does. When we live life enslaved to appeal, it will raise our defensiveness. So not only does it lower our defenses, but it raises our defensiveness. Have you ever gotten in a discussion with someone and someone saying, you know what, I don't think the decisions you've been making are good for you. What's the first thing that we do? Well, who do you think you are? What are you? I'm not doing anything bad, right? We get defensive. Why? Because it's something that is appealing to us. And I like this. And who are you to take this away from me? Because appeal, when we are connected to appeal, it raises our defensiveness at the same time lowering our defenses. And this is a danger sign. So here's the thing. And this is something that I think would be a good thing to remember. Whenever we feel defensive, and it probably happens quite a bit, I encourage you. If you're ever in a conversation and you start to feel a little defensive, you know, why are they saying that? I think they're getting a little bit nosy, and I think we should stop and step back. Why am I feeling defensive? Every time we get defensive, I'm gonna tell you there's a red flag. There's something going on inside of you. Because when we are walking with Christ, there is not a defensiveness. Christ was never defensive. He never had to defend himself because he was right with God. And when we are not a slave to our own heart, we will not be defensive because there's nothing to lose. The reason we are defensive is because we are connected to something that we need to stop and say, hey, I need to look inside of me. Now, the problem is many times when we get defensive, we use the other person's faults to defend our defensiveness, right? Well, they don't have all the information. Well, they don't know my situation. Well, they don't know what it feels like. You don't know what it feels like, what I'm feeling. Whoa, 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 wait a second. You need to stop and look back. Why am I thinking that? I'm enslaved to my appeal. There's something in my heart that is raising that, and you need to step back and say, I need to not look at them, I need to look at me. So whenever we feel defensive, this is just a good practice. We need to step back and say, God, what David said, show me, is there something in my heart? Why am I so defensive? Because that will always be a sign that we are connected to something that is appealing rather than satisfying. And here's a big thing we always say. Well, I would take it if they just didn't use that tone of voice. It was their, you know, it's not what you said, but you said it in a bad tone. You know what? That's not the point. We're using that to deflect from our own issues. So, as we deal with things that are appealing to us, whatever it is, whether it is pleasures, whether it is relationships, whether it is activities that we want to do, we need to stop. Am I choosing this direction? Am I choosing these thoughts? Sometimes it may be even a pity party. Do you know pity parties can be very appealing to us? But is that really the right direction we need to take? So whatever the appeal is, we need to begin to understand and look at it and ask ourselves, where is this going to take me? Because every appeal, it distracts us from the destination that it's taking us. We get so caught up in the distraction of the appeal and the activity and whatever it is that we begin to choose and move into, that we don't stop and ask, where is this going to lead me? Where is this going to bring me to in the end of all my life? So we need to begin to willingly and eagerly look at the choices we make and ask ourselves, are we choosing appealing over satisfying? Now, here's the thing. Satisfying may not always be appealing at first. And that's the whole thing. But yet we know, and we're going to talk about this, we know what is right. And we know what will truly satisfy us. The problem is, are we willing to fight the fight to not give in to appealing? Because appealing is so much easier. It's the easy route, and it's the feel-good route. But it may be the route that destroys you. That route of self-pity, that route of bitterness, that route of pleasure, that's really our question today. We are slaves to our own appeal. We are slaves to our own flesh. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And in verse 1, he gives this statement. Paul tells us, he says, stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Okay, first of all, we need to understand this. Christ came to free us from the slavery of the flesh. It is only because of what Christ did that we can begin to make better choices in our life. So we need to stand on this, that it's not me, it is Christ. Okay, that is the bottom line principle. You have to choose Christ, even when it's not what you feel like. And this is the hard part. There's times that in your reason and your logic, this seems good for me. But what does Christ say? What does the Word of God say? And I know that sometimes we read the Word of God and say, but God, really? Come on, and we fudge on what the Word of God, when you know that the Word of God said not to do that. And we try and make excuses. But we need to stand fast in the freedom that Christ has given us. So Christ has to override every other thing, even when it doesn't make sense to us. It says, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. In other words, it's so easy for us to call ourselves Christian, but you know what? We go right back into that lifestyle that is just pulling us back to appeal. And even though we call ourselves Christians, we're living a life really based on our own appeal. We're living for ourselves. We are living for our own pleasures, our own desires, and then we are making excuses and saying that we are living for Christ, and we are liars and we are hypocrites. And you may not think that way because we try and ignore it because we don't want to see ourselves that way. But at some point, we need God to open up the blinders and be faced with a hard confrontation. Yes, I have not been living the direction of Christ. I have become entangled again in my own appeal. And Jesus says, don't get entangled in those same things again that I've set you free from. We skip down to verse 13, and this is what he says. Yes, God has set us free, but he did not set us free so that you can just do whatever you want. We are forgiven of our sins, and so therefore we think, man, I can just live for God, and so I can do whatever I want. He said, do not get sucked in by this wrong thinking. Don't use your freedom for an opportunity for the flesh. Now, the flesh just means those things that come so naturally to us, the things that seem appealing to us, that are so, they affect our senses, things that look good, those things that feel good, things that seem to fill those desires in our heart. But instead, it says, and here's the key, through love, serve one another. One of the key things to break this continually falling into the wrong direction is to make a choice that I am going to live a life of love serving others. One of the best ways to break your slavery to appeal is to absolutely dedicate yourself to putting others more important to myself. When you begin to live a life of I will love others even when they annoy me, even when I don't like them, even when they have hurt me, but I choose to because this is the path of Christ. I'm going to tell you, when you choose this love, now love is not always a feeling. It doesn't mean you're always going to have a happy feeling when you're around those people. I just love them. Sometimes it's going to be a choice, but I will choose to. I will choose not to be bitter. I will choose not to hold that against them. I will choose to celebrate their accomplishments even when I don't have mine. That breaks the power of sin in our heart. I'm going to tell you, that is the very thing that Christ came to do. He said, if you will die to yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, you will have life. It doesn't make sense. And the world says that does not make sense. How does that make sense? The world tells you, come on, you're getting stepped on. You're not getting anything. Why are you going to celebrate them? And here's what Jesus says. Because in the end, I'm the one that's going to give you your life. In the end, you have to trust me that I'm the one that's going to give you satisfaction, not the world anyway. So no matter what they are experiencing in the world, you are going to experience satisfaction from me. And when we choose others over ourselves, I'm going to tell you, it breaks the chains. That means choosing them over our own selfishness, over our own jealousy, our own envy, our own anger. That means choosing what is better for others rather than my own fun or my own pleasure. That means sacrificing sometimes so that others can do it when I don't. You see, when we do that, we begin to enter into a new direction. And it's hard at first, but I'm going to tell you, when you head down that road, the farther you go on that road, you begin to experience more and more peace. Well, we'll get there. Paul begins to experience that even as he grew in his walk with the Lord. It goes on, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, everything in your life comes down to one thing. It says everything is fulfilled in one thing. If you love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I know here's the thing that we all say, well, then I have to love myself first, right? No, that's not what it's focusing on. It's saying when you begin to love others, when you begin to ask yourself, my choice, when I make this choice, how is it going to affect others? Because when I begin to do this, it's always going to affect others around me. Goes on and says, if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now, I know the first thing we think about is that's the opposite of loving one another, and many times we think of talking about others, backbiting them. But he's saying this biting and devouring happens when we simply consume life for ourselves. Because if we are consuming life, here's the thing, other people get consumed with that. Now, we might say, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm doing this for me. And I didn't do anything against it. Well, I'm telling you, when you consume life for your own purpose, other people get consumed. Whether you wanted to or not, remember, not intention. You didn't intend it, but it always will. People close to you, neighbors, fellow workers, will always have to pick up the slack when you choose what is appealing to you. The body of Christ. This is why many people say, well, you know, I don't need to go to church and be all faithful to that to serve God. Well, when you don't, it says very clearly, then the rest of the body has to pick up the slack. When we choose to follow Christ, we are members of the body. And it says when one member of the body is struggling and hurting, it affects all of us. So we need to understand that if we choose to consume life, we really end up consuming others, whether you want to or not. And you may not even realize it. And yet, what a sorry state of affairs that other people are getting destroyed because we think of no one but ourselves. So this is what he says. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the flesh, lust of the flesh. So here's the first step. We must decide. We just have to absolutely decide that we will follow the direction of God. I'm going to follow the Spirit. Now, I know we're going to make mistakes, we're going to fall, but this has to be our direction. That even though I may stumble, and I may not be able to go quickly, but I am going to set my mind to follow Christ. If we will begin to set our choices, not feelings, we cannot go by emotional. It's that emotional pill that gets us in trouble in the first place. But it is a mindset, which is a choice, even when we may not feel like it, but I will choose to walk in the Spirit. It will keep you from falling in to the consumption of the flesh, of the appeal of this life that pulls us away. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, this is, we're very familiar with this. So even though we make a decision, he's telling us, just understand when you make that decision, there's going to be a confrontation because of it. When you make a decision to follow Christ, there's going to be something that happens in you that it is not going to be easy. Because there's something in your flesh that does not want to follow Christ, that doesn't want to do all those things. And so there is going to be a battle, and we know this, that there is a big difference between what I want to and what I ought to. And we know both of them. We know what I ought to do, but I sure know what I want to do. And that battle between want to and ought to, there's the key. Who are we giving into? We have got to begin to seek God, to let him bring the answer to that battle. Now, here's the great problem with that. Anything in your life has great appeal. Okay, remember, there's a conflict between what I want to, what I ought to. If that is a battle within you all the time, it will never change, then you have to prepare yourself for that battle. Because if you don't want to always give in to the wrong thing, then here's the thing you need to do. When anything has great appeal, okay, here's what you do. You stop. Stop. Now, what do we do? When anything has great appeal, I lean into it. Well, and if it's not bad, if it's good, why not do it? Here's what God says. Anything that has great appeal, there should be a red flag. Anything that you have an opportunity to do that you really want to do, you need to stop. I mean, that's no fun at all. You're telling me that everything good God's telling me not to do. I'm not telling you that God's telling you not to do it. He's telling you to stop before you do it, though. I'm not saying that everything that has appeal you're not going to end up doing, but before you do it, you stop. It's not a green light. We treat appeal as a green light. Oh, if it's good, if it feels good, I can just do it. It should be a red flag. That means that person in your life, that means that thing in your life, that means that activity in your life, you need to stop before and ask yourself, what am I really choosing? What direction am I going? Is this becoming the focus that I'm building my life upon? It's not just, see, we tell ourselves it's just one activity, it's just one time, it's just one thing. It's never just one thing. It's never just the one time you do it. Because every time you do it, it's building more connection in your life. So with anything that has great appeal, we need to stop and come before God and say, God, you give me direction. Now, here's the great thing. There's times that God will say, yes, this is for me, and we can go into it. But there's times where God will say, no, I think you might need to skip this. That's hard for us, especially if we don't see any reason why we should. But when we do that, it allows the Spirit to have greater influence. And the more we give the Spirit influence in our life, the easier it is to follow the path of satisfying. The greater the voice of God becomes in our life. It says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. If we begin to truly seek God, we begin to find a lack of restrictions. That's what laws are for. Now, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Now what it says is, you know these things. You know these appealing things. And we're not going to go through this whole list. But every one of them, in every area of our life, it's simply saying, you know the things that are not from God. Or you know the good things that are taking the place of God. See, it may not be a bad thing, but you have let it take the place of God, and they are the work of the flesh. They are the things of appeal that you are going down the wrong path, and you know it. Most people are never surprised when they end up where they end up. They always look back and say, I should have known. No one gets to the end of their life and stands before God and says, God, why would you judge me? I'm shocked. We're never going to be shocked. These things are evident. We just give in to them. It says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. We understand sexual immorality. We understand that there is a way that God has established us to build relationships. And when we go outside of those relationships, that it tears us up emotionally, physically, and in ways that hurt not only us, but others. It says idolatry, sorcery. Many of you might say, I'm not an idolater, but yet how many times we've made other things idols before God. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. And here's one, selfish ambitions. You want something for yourself so much that it becomes more important to you. And I'm telling you, it enslaves you. How many of us are enslaved by just an ambition? Something that we want. And God says it is enslaving you. It is ruining your life because you want something more than you want me. And you don't realize. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we live by our own appeal, here's the final thing. You will not enter the kingdom of God. but I believe in Jesus, you will not enter the kingdom of God if this was the direction that you were headed. Just because you use the word of Jesus on your lips, just because you claim him as your Savior, if the direction of your life was you were living for your own pleasure, you lived for your own appeal, it says you will not enter the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus said so many will stand before him and say, but God, I lived for you. I did things for you. He said, I don't even know you. Yeah, you called my name, but you are living for yourself. Here's a dangerous thing, people. These things are evident. They are in our life. If we will stop and look in our life, what direction are we taking? But here's the good news. But the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when we choose to follow the Spirit. Now, here's the thing I want to say. It is fruit, and we have mixed this up so much. We have turned this into a list of do's. We have to do this. These are not things that you do. These are things that you get. Okay, understand this. These are not things that you do. These are things that you get. When you choose to follow Christ, when you choose to love others more than yourself, when I will choose to live my life based on how I can serve others rather than how I can serve my own wants and desires, this is what I get. Look what you get. You get love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness. How many would like, I want to live a life where I get kindness from people. I get goodness. This is the fruit of choosing the direction of your life. I will not indulge my own desires. I am going to live a life that lifts up God and lifts up others, even if I miss out. Because in the missing out, I'm going to get fruit in my life that is satisfying. This is what Paul is saying. You're not understanding that by choosing Jesus and by choosing a life of the Spirit, it is not a life of missing out. It is a life of finally being satisfied. Because the things of this life, although they are appealing at first, they are never satisfying. They are never going to fulfill you. But we get the fruit of the Spirit. Not only that, it is gentleness, self-control. How many wish, man, I wish I had self-control. We blow it so many times, and it's all my fault. Well, you know what? Here's the best way to get self-control. Not by doing it, but by just seeking God. And over making those choices, we get these things. This is the life that comes from choosing to follow God and making the hard decision that I'm not going to follow my own appeal, but I'm going to follow him. And here's the last thing it says. Against such, there is no law. Now, what is a law? A law is something that has to temper things. We got to make a law because if we don't make a law, things will get out of control, right? So laws hold things down. Okay, laws, you know, we got to do a law against speed because if we get going too much speed, we'll cause accidents. We have to make rules of when you can talk, and in a classroom, there's rules to do things because if everyone talks at the same time, it just becomes chaos. So rules and laws limit you, okay, for a good reason. They're limiting things that kill you. But here's the thing. When we seek the Spirit, against these things, there's no law. God will never limit the amount of joy that you get. There will never be a like, okay, hey, we got to cut that down. You're getting a little too happy there. There's a little bit too much peace. We need to make a law that you can only be so peaceful. No, God says there is no law against this. In other words, what I give you will never be limited. The pleasure you can get in the world is always limited. Everything you can do in the world is always held down by some kind of rule. It has to be because it destroys us. But the things from God, there is no law. There is going to be an overflowing of his life in us. You know, there is never going to be a time where there has to be a law against kindness. you know what? We're going to have to stop the kindness. You're just being too kind. Or faithfulness. Don't be so faithful. You see, there's no law against this. There is fullness of joy. There is abundant life when we choose the direction that God has for us. Verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So the end of the matter is this. Are we willing to crucify our flesh so that we might live in the Spirit? In other words, are you willing to sacrifice your own wants, your own desires, not to live by appeal? Sometimes you might do something that's not appealing. Something is very appealing, but you're going to choose not to do it because I stop and I look and I'm not going to let that control me, but I'm going to choose the way of God. And I'm going to choose satisfying over appealing. Will we begin to choose satisfying over appealing? Because God says, if you will, you will find life. And your destination, you can predict. I can predict your destination. If you choose appealing, here's your destination. You're going to be sorrow. You're going to be hurt. You're going to be lonely. And you're going to suffer without God for eternity. But if you choose God and satisfying, you will know life, joy, peace, and all the goodness of God. So what direction are you on? Today, let's choose the direction that leads us to the destination that God has for us. Let's bow our heads. God.